We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons on The Score.
Our experts are advising us that we don't need a 14-day quarantine. What we will do is the positive individual will be removed from the rest of the group. There will be a quarantine arrangement in each facility and in each city. And then we'll do contact tracing for the individuals that we believe there was contact with. And we will do point of care testing for those individuals to minimize the likelihood that there's been a spread.
The McNeil and Parkin Show on 670 The Score.
That was Rob Manfred, the commissioner of baseball, on CNN, discussing a number of things with regards to the return of baseball, both the health component of it, which we'll talk with Dr. Sitrenberg in 90 minutes, and some on the financial side as well. And yesterday, Spiegs, there was a season ticket holder Zoom stream event. Len Casper was on with Crane Kenny, the president of the business side of the Cubs baseball operation. And then there was, of course, Tom Ricketts, the owner of the baseball team. And I think it's really cool that they did that to try to communicate to their season ticket holders in the age of the coronavirus. And some of the news that came out of that was really good. Crane Kenny said that he is confident that a deal with Comcast will be done very quickly upon the resumption of normal activities post-coronavirus. Said they were very close, and he thinks that they will get there. I had always said that all that mattered was that the Cubs and Marquee was on Comcast before opening day. Spring training didn't matter. Opening day is what mattered. I cannot even imagine how terrible of a headline it would be if we're all still at home in coronavirus, baseball resumes, you can't go to Wrigley Field, and half the city can't watch. So I'm glad it sounds like that's not going to happen.
Yeah, and it's just like we were talking about yesterday in terms of the overall labor dispute. Like, if they don't play because of money, or if you can't see games because of money and negotiations, it's a horrific look that will be, and I think it's going to be irrecoverable for some people. But so nice to hear that that it won't get that way. I think the Cubs and Xfinity are probably going to end up both having to bend a little bit, because they're both going to be desperate. Xfinity's going to be desperate. They're losing, I saw it, in terms of cord cutters, Xfinity's losing, what, $600,000 a month? Something like that. The cord cutting has been pushed even crazier because of this pandemic.
Yeah, which doesn't surprise me at all. And so this is, deadlines make deals, and the deadline got pushed back, and then now there's just this human side of the pressure, right, to, okay, are we really going to do this in a pandemic and not have any way for people to watch Cubs baseball? It's ridiculous. So that was a really good piece of news that came out of it, even if it's not official yet. Something that came out of it that surprised me, and our own Bruce Levine reported on this, was that Tom Ricketts reportedly claimed that 70% of Cubs revenues come from the game day experience. And we talked yesterday how, like, the players and the owners, there's some mistrust, and there isn't revenue sharing in baseball because there is no salary cap or salary floor, but that the books aren't open. Like, so we don't really know how much these baseball teams are worth. It's just a Forbes estimate, or how much they're making annually. Yes. And the estimates had always been that it was like 60-40 as a whole for the industry. Like 60% was from media and local media, national media, all that stuff. And 40% was from the game day. And then maybe it was a little closer to 50-50. But this is Tom Ricketts saying it's 70-30 the other direction. When I heard that number...
No, I think you're mixing... Because there's two different... What you're talking about is revenue sharing. What's been 60-40 and maybe closer to 50-50, that's overall revenue that the league is sharing with the players,
right,
in terms of what the payroll is. What Tom Ricketts is talking about is the amount of revenue that the Cubs make, that is their day of game revenue, as opposed to overall revenue that includes media and electronic and everything else.
Okay, right. I'm sorry. I don't mean to conflate the two, but when you heard the number from 70% of the revenue for the Cubs comes,
yes,
from like a game being had at Wrigley Field and not television or media,
right,
or national revenues that the sport shares.
That's
did that
different
number not to- strike you as very high?
Absolutely. No, and to your point, Rob Manfred, I just wanted to make sure we're separating the two things. Rob Manfred did say that 40% of Cubs or clubs, all the organizational revenue is on day of game. He said that. So it's like he said,
okay,
that.
Okay, right. I thought he. So right. Rob Manfred,
yes,
said 60-40. 40% was from day of game. But for the Cubs,
right,
obviously it could be higher than another team because,
right,
they have the pavilion and, you know, they could be doing some funny accounting there, right? Like they've got the rooftops and they got the pavilion and they've got, you know,
yep,
the hotel across the street. And so they could be fudging some numbers there. But Rob Manfred said it's 40% from game day.
Yes. And now Tom Ricketts is saying it's 70% from game day.
So this speaks to what you were talking about in terms of just the inherent mistrust that exists, right, between,
yes,
players and ownership when they don't know. And it's an odd thing because I was doing some reading about this last night and before the show again today. Baseball revenue as a whole has gone up 17 consecutive years in a row. 17 years in a row. Just 1 year higher than the last, higher than the last, higher than the last, higher than the last.
Mm-hmm.
And franchise value, like the owners are in it for the long haul, right? Only two teams have changed ownership groups in the last 8 years. Marlins and then the Royals this past year. So owners have the value of their franchise go up. They have revenue go up. And they get to sit with it, and they get to increase their net worth and all of that. And I know that they would say, well, that doesn't count for the operational budget, right? Money in versus money out in a year over year, and you don't want to lose money in a year as a business owner and all of that. But there is,
yep,
risk, right? So, like, so Tom Ricketts, for example, he bought the Cubs and then a quarter of the television network at the time, CSN Chicago, for $850 million. The Cubs today are valued at over $3 billion, and they're launching their own television network where they will get 100% of the revenues from it. So it's really hard for me to sympathize with ownership, with regardless of what the percentages are,
mm-hmm,
when you have your franchise value go up year over year, the players don't get any of that. When you lie in with record revenue year over year, like in a good year where you exceed revenue expectations, it's not like you cut,
yeah,
the players an extra 10%. They don't get a bonus. So now when it's going down and they're already taking a prorated salary and they're the ones risking their health, I guess I don't understand why the owners can't just lose money for a year when they've been making money for 17 years in a row. I don't get it.
Yeah, I think a lot of people agree with you. And yet when you hear the players say, I'm not playing unless I get mine, like Blake Snell did yesterday, people get upset,
right,
at that too. But yeah, there is a tremendous amount of mistrust, and the inequity between the big market haves and the small market have-nots has never been wider, and further confuses this issue because there's a few different things here. First of all, Tony Clark, apparently, and the union, they did this late last night. It was reported this morning. They flat out requested open books. essentially. Did you see this? They flat out requested.
Yes, I
they
did.
They asked for a slew of financial documents that detail the industry's finances. So like we were talking about yesterday, oh, you want us to go 50-50? Okay, open the books. That is absolutely what I would do if I were the players, because the owners are hiding all kinds of money. So you want us to go 50-50? We'll do that. Let's open the books, and then we can change the way we do things forever from here on out. Because what is true is that the five gigantic moneymakers in baseball in terms of day of game revenue split that revenue with all the other teams. There's an article
Correct.
About this in the Athletic today that Kenny Rosenthal and Evan Drylik wrote, that like the Marlins usually get $70 million in revenue sharing from the other ball clubs. They're not going to get that this year. MLB is likely to halt revenue sharing just between them. This is not the revenue sharing with the players, but within them. So like teams like the Cubs, the Yankees, the Red Sox, the Dodgers, the Giants, those are the big ones. They make so much more on day of game because of the property they own and because of the draw they have. And for the Yankees, it's the premium seating. And for the Dodgers, it's their TV deal. And the Yankees, it's their TV deal. And the Giants have 30,000 season ticket holders, among other things. So it's like those five have shared it. That's not going to happen this year. So it's not going to happen this year because guess what? Teams like the Rays and the Marlins, they might actually do okay this year. If like they're the ones who might break even because they're not dependent on the games and the day of situation. So in an odd way, like I'm not sympathizing, but I can understand if you own a business and you're the one that usually has to share all your day of game revenue and now you don't have your day of game revenue, it levels the playing field awfully quick, where a team like the Cubs or the Yankees all of a sudden feels like they're the Rays or the Marlins for this particular year. You know what I mean? Yeah, so it can be confusing.
Yeah, it would suck to own a business and be guaranteed to make a profit every year and then have a pandemic happen and then no longer make that same profit. But to that, I would just say, welcome to 2020.
Damn right.
Why are you special? And I thought Scott Boras, you know, who I haven't loved some of the things that he said throughout this whole thing with regards to the health, but I thought he made a hell of a point. Why is it capitalism when it's profits and it's socialism when it's losses? It's a great point. All of the players have to also take even less in addition to the prorated salary that they already agreed upon because you're losing money. Like sometimes you buy a stock and it goes down. There's nothing that is, I don't think, in the bylaws of owning a Major League Baseball team that says it's impossible to, you know, that you can't lose money in a given year. Like, that's part of...
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
But we live in a world where responsibility does not always get shared. And this is why it's getting ugly, or why this... You know, and I know Manfred went out of his way to say, hey, this isn't a fight. This is a discussion, and we're doing it. But this is why it feels so ugly. I know people who have been furloughed, so not paid for a while. And this is vaguely similar to what a player's life has been, right? They were furloughed, and now they're being welcomed back to work at a discounted rate. Would you like your job or not? You know, so there are lots of employees who are dealing with that kind of reality. So there is this thought that the baseball players should, like everybody else, have to deal with that kind of reality because, like you were saying, welcome to 2020. The thing is, the baseball players are not replaceable. They're not. We've seen them try to do it, and replacement players are laughable and ridiculous. They are unique. Their talents are unique, and it is, in the end, the product. So that's why you'll get Blake Snell saying what he's saying.
But also... they have guaranteed contracts. Like they have contracts. You know what I mean? Like they have a union. It's collectively bargained. They have guaranteed contracts. They have already agreed to the concession of prorated salary, right? So,
They thought they had a deal. They thought they had a deal moving forward after they'd made that one agreement. They thought they had a deal, and now the owners are coming back and asking for more.
Yeah. So, by the way, I assume that. they'll have to sacrifice a little bit more, right? My assumption will be there will be some story that comes out that says the baseball players take even more of a haircut. But who should share in more of these losses right now? It's pretty clear that it's the billionaire owners. And if they are going to operate at a loss for a year, okay. But so and?
Yeah.
That's, you know what I mean? I so what? Because think about it. Rob Manfred also said on CNN that the losses for the owners in a scenario where there was no baseball would approach $4 billion. Mm. I'm horrible at math.
But $133 million a team. $133 million a team.
Right. Yeah. Obviously, I'd love to know how they were calculating that and if it would be the same for all teams and if was that like expected revenue or like out-of-pocket losses. Like, obviously, he didn't share all the details on that. But that doesn't strike me as a ton of money to these billionaire owners, right? If the scenario is no baseball at all, $4 billion shared among 30 teams, $130 million, $133 million per team. Like, that's, am I wrong to say that that's nothing if you lost an entire season of baseball?
It's not shared equally, though. Those losses will not be shared equally because of the massive inequity, which is the first thing I brought up yesterday, right? Something I wanted to talk about forever that a talk show host didn't want me to talk about when I was 28. That is still... So those losses, that $4 billion is going to be much more felt by the big
sure.
teams. And the other thing is that those big teams are valued higher, but you don't spend on franchise value. They're valued higher because they make so much more dependably when they play games. Right. It always, to me, goes back to what Joe Ricketts was caught saying on tape before we even ever heard from Tom. We had Joe. Right. Remember that tape when Joe was saying, my son told me that even if they don't win, people go, that's a business. Now, that's a business I can get behind. Right. I mean, that's the reality of why the Cubs and the Dodgers and the Giants historically and the Yankees and the Red Sox are valued so high is because, sometimes they win and sometimes they're really good. But people go. People go. So they have the value that high, but without the games where the people go, which is where their money is, there's not going to be, they're going to feel the losses more than a lot of the smaller market teams. That's what I walked away with from that Athletic piece, is that the low attendance teams are going to be the ones that have the best chance to break even with a season like this.
And that, great. So finally, baseball, like the poor teams in baseball get lucky. Right? Okay, fine.
Yep.
Tom Ricketts' team is worth more than the Rays. So he's made more year over year than the Rays in terms of franchise value going up, right? They've more than tripled in value since he's bought the team. Like, that's just, yes, it sucks. I don't know what to say. Like, I'm not going to be very sympathetic to that plight. We either play baseball or we don't. If we don't, your franchise value goes down because whenever you do return to playing baseball, people are going to hold it against you for a long, long time. So decide how you want to handle it. But if you're really going to say there's no baseball because we're going to lose some money in the midst of a pandemic when everybody else is losing money amidst the pandemic, you're not going to have a lot of people sympathetic for the Tom Ricketts and Jerry Reinsdorfs of the world. You're just not.
I agree. But this is why when push comes to shove, I think you're going to see both sides bend somehow. Maybe there is deferred money that the owners say they will pay. Maybe there is an added level of openness that changes the playing field for the future, right? Because maybe the playing field needs to change. Maybe this is a moment where it's going to change and the owners will say, okay, yeah, I guess we need to be more partners. Ideally, isn't that what is supposed to come out of stuff like this when we're all struggling together? Not only do you share responsibility, but maybe you rejigger how you do things, you know? But that could lead to some serious issues. Like, if you rejigger how you do revenue sharing within the ownership group, maybe those teams that can't afford to exist are not going to exist. That's the way it's going to happen in a lot of other businesses, right? I mean, should
I like
rejigger. The Cub, right?
I'm caught up on that. I'm hung up on that. I haven't heard that used. in a long time, and then you used it twice back to back, and I'm like, I got to work good, that man. In with well, Yo-Yo been, from Hub.
Yeah, there you go. I've been building some Horatio Alger machines with Ruben. Is that what they're called? Horatio Alger machines? No. What are they called?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
No, I'm mixing it up. People know what I'm talking about.
Do they?
Yes.
Do they? Okay. We need to get personal here, by the way. Take people inside our lives. You've got a hack. I've got something happening to me that is just wild during these unprecedented times, and I feel like I'm failing the test every single day. Jason Benetti at 4 o'clock. Dr. Citrenberg. Yeah.
It's a Rube Goldberg machine, okay? It's a Rube Goldberg machine. You don't name it after... He was the cartoonist, Rube Goldberg, and used to draw these machines intentionally designed to do the simple task, but it does it in a very complicated way. Those kind of machines. Yeah, thank you, Rube Goldberg, not Horatio Alger.
Who's Horatio Alger?
I think he said, go west, young man, if memory serves.
What the hell's the matter with you?
Look, man, there's a lot in there, okay? There's a lot. I mean, we haven't even dealt with the music stuff that's in there. It's like there's a lot of stuff in there, and sometimes it comes out funny. Weird.
Yeah. I don't know what happened in the last 90 seconds, but I enjoyed it. It's back at Park.
This is going great.
Yeah, exactly, on the score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Pop quiz, hot shot.
Yeah, man. Welcome back. It's Mack and Parkins on the score. Spiegs is in. Our guy Jason Benetti joins us at 4 o'clock. Dr. Citrenberg, 4:30. Guy you maybe have heard of, Matt Nagy, at 5 o'clock. This segment, by the way, brought to you by DuckDuckGo Privacy. Want the same internet but more privacy? DuckDuckGo's got you covered. They help millions of people like you get the privacy online without any trade-offs. With one download, you can search and browse privately, avoiding trackers, all for free. DuckDuckGo, privacy simplified. I'm sorry that I yelled at your love to stop vacuuming in the background, Speaks. I know she misses me from Can't Do It, and I know that she loves me, so I apologize.
Right. My predominant memories when I think of the two of you are Can't Do It, when she and Steph both were guests on the show live in the studio and did Can't Do It. And then some other night, it was a charity event, I think a poker event, and the two of you ended up in spirited conversation at the bar discussing, yeah. I believe Can't Do It was the topic.
Yeah. It was Can't Do It. She was she was admonishing me and judging me, and I think searching for a soul might have been her objective. I'm not exactly sure. Yeah.
Oh
yeah.
Boy. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you met that's when you really met the fiery Latina. That's when you really got to know her there.
Exactly. But
that's my girl.
Since then.
Uh-huh.
It's been all good.
Absolutely. And that's why when she heard that you were chastising her for vacuuming in the background, because this isn't hit and run. This isn't inside the clubhouse. This is afternoon drive, buddy, your words, to paraphrase. When she heard that, she responded with tell Danny to kiss my ass. That's what she offered in response.
I love you.
I think it was partially loving is what I'm saying. That shows the progress that you guys have made in terms of relationship.
That is tremendous progress. Well, and you were very kind yesterday in sharing that you fumbled Mother's Day and like in your advanced age, like in all of these years, you've had many Mother's Days to fumble, and you gave her socks and you gave her the wrong socks, and it was just it was a disaster. So I felt like I should share something with you. I'm not sure if I assume not. I assume maybe this is just like a generational gap. But are you hip to the app Time Hop? Are you hip to this thing? You know what it is?
I am not a. I've heard of Time Hop, but I'm not hip to it. Does it? I'm going to guess that it kind of perfects what Facebook has tried to do with this is what you were doing 3 years ago today.
Correct.
That kind of
it's,
thing.
It's exactly. You put it Nailed in your it. Phone and it gets access to your phone and then it'll say, you know, on this day, and it'll show you like pictures that were taken on that phone on this day 1 year ago, 3 years ago, 5 years ago. And so it's terrible because I don't have it on my phone, but Steph has it on hers and she loves it. And I don't know if you've watched the new Seinfeld stand-up bit yet, but it was basically the same show that he did when he was at the Chicago Theater 6-7 months ago, whenever it was. And he said that he wakes up every morning and then he goes down and he stands in front of a lectern in his living room and he just gets rapid-fire questions from his wife and he tries to remember. He's like, I'll take details of a 10-minute conversation at 3 in the morning for 8 years ago, Alex. Like, and he just, you know, plays the rapid-fire relationship quiz game. Because what's happened is, because of Time Hop, Steph will ask me, like, oh, wow, look at what we were doing 2 years, you know, what do you remember what we were doing 2 years ago today? And I'll be like, all right, birthday, no. Valentine's Day, no. Anniversary, no.
Baseball season.
Right, exactly. And so so some of it's like, oh, okay, well, this was when we went to, you know, game one of a World Series. And so, like, so sometimes it'll be like a monumental event, but other times it'll be like, this is the first time we went to Duck Duck Goat. And I'm like, I don't remember that we did that on May 5th of 2017. It's ridiculous.
How dare you?
It's just a ridiculous thing to remember, and you wouldn't remember it either, but the app is incentivizing you. But this happened to me yesterday, and I want to know, and you're the perfect person to ask about this, because, again, a little bit of experience. My wife said, do you know what happened 4 years ago today? And I said...
Now, that's... Yeah, that's a rhetorical question, though, isn't it? She just wants to show that she knows because she uses the app well, and she wants to show that she is a better rememberer, if that's a word, of a better commemorator of the relationship than you.
Yes, but like when it's okay, this is the first time we went to a restaurant. I'm not really expected to remember, but so these questions get asked often enough that it devalues the game a little bit. And so I kind of just assume that the answer is like a trivial thing that no one in their right mind can remember. But when I flagged on May 14th, she hit me with, that's the day you proposed and our life changed forever.
Oh.
And I was like, oh no.
Oh, that's trouble.
So I was in the doghouse. And what I'm asking is, do you have that day committed to memory? Because we have, it's too much. I have the birthday, the wedding anniversary. I know the day of our first date. And now I got to remember the day of the proposal. It's too many anniversaries. I got an anniversary every month around here.
Yeah, I think you're going to have to write that one down and add it to the list that you have to remember. And that
really?
Doesn't mean you have to do a gift every time. But yeah, in my world, I need and I do remember and need to remember that we met on March 17th because she came to see the band do Van Morrison. And that was the night that we met, right around St. Patrick's Day. So we like, oh, this is the anniversary of that. And then we went on our first date in June. And right now I forget what date that was, but I do need to know that. And I have that on my personal calendar. I've got it.
It's not easy, but man.
I know. And then we got married, you know, on April 14th. So I got that one and that's easy. But yeah, I proposed in December. I want to say it was either the 12th or the 19th. And I have that written down somewhere as well, because yes, all of those will have added value.
That's
too many. I agree.
Danny, I could tell you the one time I ever saw Michael Jordan play, it was December 21st, 1992. The Bulls took down the Miami Heat 86-82 that day. Scottie Pippen was actually the leading scorer for the Bulls. I could not tell you. I could tell you that it was in June of 2016 that I got engaged. I could not tell you what the actual date was.
Yeah. And a texter makes a great point. He goes, rookie mistake, Parkins. I propose New Year's Eve. That's a great point.
That's well done.
That's a great point.
Another guy says that he proposed on the 5-year dating anniversary. Boom. Problem solved. There you go. That is the kind of consolidation of anniversaries. That's forethought right there.
God, it's just that this app is just like, it's going to get me in trouble now. There's just, because now you got to remember also, like, you obviously got to remember your kid's birthday and then, like, significant dates for them. It's too much. It's too many days.
And now in the app universe, we have, she and I share a calendar. You know, we share a Google Calendar. So no excuse. Zero excuse. But I also can't write myself secret notes to make it think that I'm just incredibly thoughtful. I can't do that.
Nothing you can hide. Yeah, you gotta set reminders in your phone. Like, that's just...
Yes. Yes.
You know, but...
And that's brutal. I love this text. The anniversary of your proposal. Really, give me an effing break. But of course, I am also divorced. LOL.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Trust me. When I proposed, I didn't know that was the rule. day we met, first date, proposal, anniversary, birthday, Valentine's Day, Mother's Day. I mean, it's just it's a lot of days. It's a lot of days I got to remember.
You've gotta suck it up, toughen up, and remember all those damn dates. Write them down if you need to, but you got to have them. Because here's the thing. The volume that Steph does for you.
She does so much.
Right? It's like the volume of what Christine does for me and my son, our son.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. And you never know when a mistake that you make or a slight that you inflict will be compared to that volume of things that she does for you. You never know, and it might not seem equitable to you, but it sure as hell seems equitable to them, and that's really all that matters.
Yeah. Oh, trust me. Even if she didn't have the app, she'd remember. She remembers everything. Like, I'm just trapped. Like, I can't remember. And like, she's like, you're so smart. How do you not remember? I'm like, I am smart, so I probably could remember. I'm sorry. I don't know. You've got me there. So it's just, it's this game every single day. And I hate the Time Hop app is basically the moral of the story. Someone said,
oh my god,
that is the greatest text of all time. I made our wedding date the garage code.
He made it the garage code to open the door, the wedding date, so we could never forget. That's brilliant. You work these important dates into your life. But one is your PIN number, right? The security code to open the computer, you know? just sneak these dates into your everyday life so they remind you. That's brilliant.
It really is. Oh, God, the mob is coming through in the clutch. We'll hear from Aaron Rodgers before Jason Benetti at 4 on the score. We're going to talk to Jason Benetti coming up in 15 minutes. It's Mac and Parkins on the score with Spiegs in for Mac, who's on a fishing trip. We're broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. Thanks for hanging out. Man, so many of you have just brilliant hacks to remember various things. Many people have your wife's birthday as the garage door code, which is just brilliant. This texter
is brilliant.
It's just so smart. This texter says, I proposed on April 15th, tax day. A different texter says, after 15 years of marriage, there is no way I could remember when I proposed. I could not even tell you the month, and I would be guessing on the season, winter-ish.
Hey, babe, I love you. And winter-ish always reminds me when I proposed to you. Yeah, that's not going to work. I like this guy who said that he set it up so the first date, engagement, and wedding date were exactly 1 year apart. Steak dinner, boom! He did all of them, so he's got exactly 1 year apart on everything.
Yeah, and then the number of you who proposed on Christmas or New Year's. See, like, I never wanted to do something like that because, like, it is cool to have it be your own thing. But I was thinking in the moment. That was very short-sighted. Where it's like, oh, you don't want to do it on New Year's or Christmas or something like that because that's that day and you want it to be this other day. But then now it's this other day and then you forget that other day.
Right. I like this idea from a texter that you should start making up your own arbitrary dates with fake anniversaries and hold her to the same standard. Hey, babe, you know what happened 3 years ago today? That's
I shot
when
an
87 I brought you
in
orange.
Lake Geneva.
I brought you orange juice for the first time. You remember that? Huh, babe?
Yeah.
How about the anniversary of the push present? Something like that. Like, pick an actual event and pretend that you remember it and be crushed when she doesn't.
So, you know that texter, I can tell, never been married. That's not how it works. That is just not how it works. But I really do. I respect the idea. I respect the creativity. You just are wrong, sir. But that's okay. We will get to Aaron Rodgers here in just a moment as he spoke on what has turned into an odd news day. And feel free to text us, by the way, and ask what you would like to know from Matt Nagy. We're going to have 10 minutes or so with the Bears head coach coming up at 5 o'clock today. So text line 67011. Maybe we'll get your question answered. But here's Aaron Rodgers' first public comments since the Packers traded up and drafted Jordan Love. Studs, I think we're ready there. If you've got it, the Aaron Rodgers audio, please, on the replacing of the drafting of Jordan Love. Oh, okay. We're having some technical problems.
We'll
Not
get it, guys.
Problem.
We'll get it. It's
we'll get it. It's Aaron Rodgers. He's being classy about it. You know, don't worry about it. Mac, Speaks. I'm flustered. Didn't you say, by the way, and I teased it for a minute and then we got distracted because that's what we do on this show, that you had a life hack that you needed to share with people?
Oh, I did about the about produce. See,
about
I mean,
Speaks, at this point.
I'm one of those guys, Danny, who's doing his own shopping. You are not, right? You're big with the afternoon drive as opposed to me, the weekend guy. You are able to get other people to do your shopping for you and deliver it.
Listen, I would be happy to go to the store, but it's not that ridiculous to have it delivered, and it makes my wife feel more comfortable to limit our outside contact, and we have the newborn, and it's been pretty easy. So, I obviously have gone shopping since all of this has started, and you have to go to the drugstore and pick up things or whatever the case may be for one-off items. But, yeah, in terms of the big grocery store runs, I'm not doing that right now.
Right. So I'm the guy who's doing the shopping and I put the mask on and it fogs up my glasses and you deal with that. Sometimes I remember and I put on contacts instead. So that's one thing
Smart.
That they go with the contacts as opposed to the glasses. But I have found myself in the produce section. Let's say I'm in front of the apples and I'm trying to put the apples inside the plastic bag, the produce bag. And what I've done my entire life in order to open that produce bag is lick my fingers. I'd never realized I was doing it until these last 2 months that my entire life I've licked my fingers and then it's made those bags easy to open. And of course I'm not doing that. I'm not touching my face or licking my fingers in public places. It seems to be something that I should avoid. But here's the life hack for anybody who has encountered this and realizes they've been doing the same thing. Just look around the produce section until you find some moisture. It's like, oh, there's the asparagus. They probably have the asparagus sitting in some water. So just go over there, dip your fingers into the water. Or if you really need to, find some produce that has recently been sprayed by the sprayers there. Oh, the cabbage looks moist. Just kind of touch a cabbage very lightly and you'll get a little moisture onto your fingers. And it enables the opening of those plastic bags. You're welcome.
Okay, I'm sitting here mouth agape. I mean, only touch the cabbage if you're going to buy the cabbage, right?
Yes.
Because that's not a good – that's not also sanitary. You can't just be going around touching produce and then not purchasing it.
Well, I suppose you've reached a level of a level of responsibility that maybe I should incorporate into my life back.
I should stop touching cabbage.
Don't just touch, you
can't grab a random cabbage, Spiegs. It's 2020. All right.
But here's somebody's got me. And the immediate texture, life hack, use the asparagus water. He knows that's what you do. You got to find the asparagus water. Look around until you find the water. And I think you shouldn't just touch random wet produce. I think that's
good.
That's
I'm glad you don't do that.
Idea.
Peoria Matt says you could just sneeze on your hands and then use that lubrication.
God.
No, Matt, that's a terrible piece of advice.
This texture says that now hundreds of people are going to be dunking their fingers in the asparagus water everywhere in the produce section.
So I know that sometimes opening up the bags for produce can be a little tricky, but I've gotten this far in life by eventually being able to do it with dry fingers. Like, I didn't know that lubrication was the key to unlocking the puzzle that is the produce bag.
What are you, a ninja? I think you're I don't understand how that even works. No, those things are unopenable without moisture. Completely unopenable.
What?
My God. No, I have no shot to open those things. You know how many times I've stood there just rubbing my fingers together with the plastic in between? I mean, maybe I need to put it in between my hands and rub it together quickly and create some friction. Maybe that'll get it done.
Yeah, Chuck Nolan in Castaway. I have made fire. I have opened produce bag. Exactly. Just, you gotta be aggressive with the bag. Don't treat it gently.
See, this texter appreciates it. Speaks, thank you. I spent an inordinate amount of time yesterday trying to open a produce bag. I will now seek out moist things. Sir, you don't want to get yelled at for touching random wet cabbage. So just find the asparagus water and dip your fingers into there.
Man, I didn't know this was a problem. I've just been living this charmed produce life, opening the bags myself.
This is the first I've ever heard of this being a problem, guys.
Really?
I don't understand.
Dozens of people are agreeing with him, though, Studs. So he's got support. Lubrication is the key.
It is. Carry a Clorox wipe with you to wet your fingers to open the bag. That's a good idea. That's a solid idea. That would work as well. I don't know what's up. Studs, you and Danny must have... Are you guys like part duck or something? Do you have webbed fingers of some kind? Are you partially amphibian?
Not that I'm aware of. I just don't let the bag beat me. Like, I don't understand what the problem is here.
Yeah, sometimes I get frustrated with the bag, but like eventually if you're firm enough with the bag will open. Just needs a little force, a little friction.
Oh, my God. Don't let the bag beat me. Adam thinks if I try harder, like if I concentrate harder, I need more will. I need more TWTW to get those bags out.
That's what the problem is. You're not focused enough, man.
Well, he's attracted to this cabbage. He's just like grabbing the random cabbage all of a sudden. Like, come on, man. Just focus on the bag.
Well, I'm leaving this segment with guilt over potentially spreading the Rona by touching wet cabbage in the produce section. So
Don't touch produce that you're not purchasing. That's grocery shopping 101 in the age of Rona. You know who else knows that? Jason Benetti. He's going to join us.
Does.
Why?
You know he knows.
I'm not even 100% sure, but he's just enjoyable. We're going to talk to Benetti next on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.